Hello and welcome to this week's installment of Pick and Pod. I'm your A-host Bradley Byrne, joined alongside Izzy Randazzo and Henry Wolf, with Brogan as our producer, who will hop in a few times throughout the episode. And as I mentioned last week, we're still over Zoom. It's summer for us, thankfully. This year felt very long, and we had an incredibly action-packed last 2 days of basketball, which we're gonna dive into a second. But before we get started, how you guys doing? Izzy, you first, and then Henry, Brogan, y'all could hop in.
Doing great. Happy to be back home in Chicago, best city in the world, I like to say. Yeah, it's
That's not
super
true.
duper. I think it's true. I definitely think it's true. Chicago haters, there are quite a few of them. But yeah, super excited to talk some ball today. Super excited that we are in the playoff season.
I'm certainly not a Chicago hater, but being from Baltimore, it's like my whole personality. So, but I'm good. It's been like 100 degrees here for 3 days, so I'm already tired of summer. Get me in the fall. And I'm just waiting to start working. So,
Fair enough.
Brogan, what about you? How you doing?
I'm good. Stayed up, watched the Knicks game last night at coming home from a birthday dinner last night, and I thought, like, I was in a cab coming home and I saw the score and I was like, damn, they're gonna lose this game. And I come back, I turn on the TV at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I'm like, I'll just throw on the game. Let's see what happens. Thank God for Jalen Brunson. He is the savior of New York sports. He is the king of New York. It is a great day. The cover of the New York Post today says something like Knick or beaters or something, whatever. I don't remember exactly what it says, but it's a great day to be a Knicks fan. It's a great day to be a New Yorker living in the greatest city in the world. Izzy might disagree with that, but it's a good day.
It's a great day. And before we dive into Knicks game, we're going to talk about the game one of the Western Conference Finals, which is San Antonio Spurs versus Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Spurs shocked the world and steal game one in double overtime with a final score of 122 to 115. There was an alien sighting reportedly in OKC as one of the very hated players within the Pick and Pod community. Victor Wembanyama dropped 41 points, 24 rebounds, and 56% shooting, including the game-tying three-pointer, the same spot where Steph Curry made his double bang against OKC in the playoffs to silence the crowd. And on the other hand, SGA, who we've had this conversation a lot of times, is another hated player within Pick and Pod, struggled tonight, or last, or 2 nights ago, excuse me, with 7 made field goals on 8 made free throws. I always like to include the SGA free throws when I'm talking about his performances, with 24 points on 30% shooting. And Izzy, I'll go to you first, and then Henry and Brogan, you could hop in after. But what are kind of your biggest takeaways from this game?
I think Wemby is one of the best basketball players on the planet, or maybe not on the planet because he's not from Earth because alien sighting and things like that. 41 points, 24 rebounds. That's like actually otherworldly. Like objectively, even if you're not a Wemby fan, even if you're not really a basketball fan, like you know that that is insane. That is ast Those are some astronomical numbers.
My family's not a huge basketball family, but my uncle texted me and said this Wembanyama guy is pretty good. And I think the fact that he puts up that stat line in the playoffs is makes a player good versus great. It is only game one. Same with the Knicks here. The Knicks coming back is incredible. And OKC, their best player is only shooting 30%. I think this whole series is going to be extremely fun to watch, but I'd expect a little more from SGA next game. I expect some things to be shifted around on the defensive side for Oklahoma City, so all hope is not lost for the Thunder. I mean, as I don't know if Henry really knows about the lore about this, about me, Bradley, and Izzy's past couple weeks on this podcast, but we had an episode for people that don't know. We had an episode a couple weeks ago where we just talked about everybody we hated in the NBA world, and it came down really to the Thunder and Wemby. So it's crazy that this series is happening. But yeah, Wemby, as much as it pains me to say it, he's really good. He
he's phenomenal. He is an alien. He is out of this world. And I mean, it's crazy to think that he's putting up these stat lines as a almost 7 foot French dude who, like, you don't expect these numbers to be put up by some. If you look at him and you say that dude just hit a 40 feet three pointer, I wouldn't have believed you. But you know what? He does. And yeah, he's an alien. So I
He's the
think.
first person I've seen that has beaten the Oklahoma City strategy of foul baiting, basically.
Thank you. I said the same thing, Henry. All OKC does is just foul bait. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm so
and
glad
there are
someone
multiple,
shares that. Said, I've
if you
said the
could look
same
at all
thing.
the clips of that game, there are multiple times when Wemby's in the paint and Chet's falling down, Caruso's guarding him for some reason. He's getting the ball in, and he's doing it in a manner that's not like he's just taller than them. He can just put it in. And then him being the dual threat, like he's a multi-tooled player. He's not just dual-threaded, but like it's like history repeating himself. Like that's Steph Curry three to tie the game. I like it's just unstoppable.
Izzy, I
It's
want to
in
ask you a question as the resident Wemby super fan here. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and he said, "But when his career is done, Wemby will be in the conversation for greatest basketball player of all time." Do you agree? Would he be in
I
the
agree.
conversation with Michael Jordan and LeBron James as the GOAT?
I do believe so. Like I, I'm not a typical glazer of many, but Victor Wembanyama is one of the only, if not the only, player that I would ever glaze. I absolutely think just because what we've seen from him, he became the youngest player with at least 41 points and 24 rebounds in a playoff game, by the way. Can't
Some
be
could say
remiss.
he's the Lamine Yamal of basketball.
That's some lore. A lot of
That
people probably don't know that, but there's some lore with that.
video just came up on my feed the other day, and I was like, is that Izzy?
Yeah, guys, shout out Overtime. Go look at Lunchbox Overtime. I was in a video debating Wemby versus Yamal. Anyway, yeah, I absolutely do think Wemby will be in the conversation because just the way that he's built and how young he is and just the accomplishments that he keeps on getting and the achievements he keeps on, grasping, it's otherworldly. There's really no other way to say it. He is an alien. It is absolutely out of this world.
Henry, what do you think?
It's too early, I think. And he's on pace to break all these records. And I love like seeing those stats of like he's the youngest person to do this, youngest person to do that. That's great. Young players are great. I'm a baseball super fan. I just love baseball. It's, instead of watching a movie, I'll turn on watch the Red Sox play. I hate the Red Sox. And him doing that, like he's just gotta stay, he's gotta have the longevity factor. He's got to, continue to put up numbers like this, especially in the playoffs and getting his team to the playoffs. I just need more time before I can say he's as good as LeBron or MJ will be, or even Steph Curry. But that being said, if he continues to do this, he's already better than Jokic, I think.
Wow,
So,
already?
yeah,
I
absolutely.
mean, Jokic
He's
does have more rings, more MVPs, finals MVPs. I think there's definitely an argument for Wemby when it's all said and done. I do think the one thing that will stop him from entering that conversation is MVPs. I think he'll get the rings and definitely the DPOYs and all defensive teams and whatnot. But as we've seen, there's been a lot of voter fatigue recently. Like, Jokic only has, what, three MVPs, right? Yeah, three MVPs.
But
SGA
Jokic.
already has two. Embiid only got one. Giannis only has two. Even the greats like Kobe only had one. Nash, you could argue, shouldn't have two. I th don't think he should have two, but he only has two. Allen Iverson only had one. So I think the voter fatigue is the one thing that will stop him from getting into the GOAT conversation with regarding to MVPs. But he'll definitely win the rings. As much as I hate to admit it, he'll win the rings. He'll get the DPOYs, but I think if there's one argument that will be made against him, it will be the MVPs. So.
And I can say that like even like MVP voters kind of miss out on the fact that like a casual conversation, we can bring up the fact that if Wemby goes and beats SGA 4-0 here, then he's obviously our MVP
I
because
think he's already better than SGA,
SGA's
but that's
going
just
to
because
win
I
Wemby
hate
now.
SGA.
So.
Like I honestly would say he's the best player in the NBA right now. Maybe that's, recency bias or whatever, but I just don't think there's anyone in the, I'm sure you guys will, especially Izzy, will definitely agree with this. I do think he's been the best player in the playoffs so far, as as a Knicks fan, I love to Glacial and Brunson, but I have to admit it, Wemby's obviously been better, and I think he's better than Jokic right now this season, but I wouldn't say all time already. Jokic, I think, is probably top 25 for me, but Wemby could definitely enter that conversation sooner or later.
Speaking about Jokic and just the other Shea and Wemby, I just saw this stat. I thought this was crazy. The last time we've had an American MVP was 2018. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
It just goes to show how, international the NBA has become, which is a good thing, obviously. But that's
Was
a
that
crazy
James
stat. I didn't
Harden?
realize that.
Yeah.
Which
Well,
we've also talked about this. He didn't deserve his MVP either, so.
we're going to get into this, but last night James Harden's performance was egregious. Oh my gosh.
I'm
I
sure you
don't.
guys have seen it, but I have a very interesting Twitter stat for y'all. But before we dive into that game, I do just want to talk about game two and how OKC can adjust. So obviously, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I am actually shocked at how good the Spurs are. And let me explain why. Because Wemby plays defense like a free safety. He just sits in the paint the entire time and guards that entire paint area. So all you have to do is draw him away and crash the paint. And it's an easy bucket every single time. Like we saw, there's a few plays I saw on YouTube where J-Dub would drive to the paint and drag Wemby out. And Chet would 45 cut to the hoop, and it would be an easy layup. So I think Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein, are the two X factors for this game or series, excuse me. Because if you get them going and they play very physical, and you can draw Wemby out of the paint, then I think that the OKC can easily win this series. But like I said, I'm shocked that teams haven't figured this out. All you got to do is just take Wemby out of the paint every single possession, and it's an easy bucket. But let's talk about game two predictions. Henry, I'll start with you and then Izzy and Brogan, you can hop in after. But what do you expect from game two and who do you got coming out on top?
Well, I want to see a little more like what you were saying, like drawing Wemby out of the paint. And OKC needs to make an adjustment. But on the other hand, you can't really count out the fact that the Spurs are going to also make an adjustment, like just getting ready for what OKC is going to bring at them. I see the Spurs taking game two again, just because how dominant they were. And when you have momentum behind you, especially with a big man like Wemby, it's hard to stop that team. So, if you want a score prediction, I think they'll go into OT again, maybe like 110 to 105.
I
Right, what about
actually
you, Zine Brogan?
I agree with that score prediction. I do think it is going to be something very, very similar to that. And I do think it will probably go into at least one overtime. It's going to be interesting to see though, because I don't know if De'Aaron Fox is confirmed to come back yet. I don't know if can we confirm or deny?
I think he's still questionable. I'm not 100% sure, but
Okay,
I'll
so
check real quick.
that's going to be
Questionable.
interesting to see because. Dylan Harper really had to lock in with De'Aaron Fox out. So I think it's gonna be a lot of he was able to handle the pressure well, but I think it's gonna be interesting to see kind of how he adapts to that pressure, kind of if De'Aaron Fox is out. But I mean, I think the Spurs need to slow down Alex Caruso because he dropped 31 points, second highest scoring game of his career. I think he was absolutely on fire the last game. So I feel like they really need to watch for that because, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to drop that many points. I was obviously, assuming Shea would kind of score more as he, typically does. But yeah, it's going to be, there are a lot of players in this series, for both teams that can show out when they need to. And I'm excited to see kind of how they do that, especially Alex Caruso and Don Harper.
Personally, I was looking at the officiating crew for tonight's game. Tony Brothers is the crew chief for tonight's game. So I think as much as I would, if the officiating crew is normal, I think the Spurs win this game. But just because of the crew, I think the Thunder have the advantage. I think with going down 1-0 already, I think the noise in Oklahoma City is going to be loud tonight. So I think the Spurs will lose because they're going to be playing 8 versus 5 with the officials. So I think the Thunder win. And I think if they win tonight, they take game three. And then I think the Spurs eventually, I've changed my mind. I think the Spurs win the series I think they win it in seven, but I think the Thunder win the next two.
I'm going to, well, first off, the OKC always has an 8-on-5 advantage every single night, but that's neither here nor there. But I thought game one was a must-win for OKC because think about it, De'Aaron Fox is their clutch scorer. Like, when it comes to crunch time, De'Aaron Fox is the one who's going to be taking all the shots. And I have to give the Spurs a ton of credit. Despite missing their clutch score, they still, obviously, it was very rocky how they managed to, pull some stops together and pull some offensive, baskets together. But I think game two is also a must-win for OKC. If De'Aaron Fox does not play, there's no way you can go down 2-0 with the Spurs missing arguably their second-best player. So I think if OKC goes down 2-0, I do think the series is honestly over. And we can even point to a few recent examples. When the Knicks went up 2-0 against Boston, I thought there was no way Boston was winning the series. You can't blow the first two games at home and being, the team that's favored to win. Same thing with the Knicks against the Pacers last year. I still have PTSD from it. When the Knicks went down 2-0 against the Pacers, I was telling everybody, oh, it's Knicks in seven. You got to lose three to win in seven. But deep down, I knew that there was no way the Knicks were winning the series. And I think you can kind of share a similar sentiment with OKC. Obviously, they're the reigning champs, but you can't blow the first two games at home and expect to win a series. So I think Spurs are trailing by 10 points with 6 minutes left, and they come back and win the game in regulation. I don't think it goes to overtime. I do think they win by four in regulation.
Correct
That's
me if I'm
why.
wrong, but didn't the Pistons blow the first two games this year at home to the Magic?
That's right. No, it was 1-1, I
Or
think, and
that
then
was
they
1-1. Okay.
went down
It was
3-1, and
1-1.
then they had the flukiest comeback I've probably ever seen. But I mean, come on, there's
Theo's
no way.
though, right?
Like
That's
games, you could simulate game six of that series in 2K, and I don't think you can get that outcome. Like missing 23 straight shots, like that's something you can't even get in 2K. Like I still think that was a very fluky comeback, and obviously it showed in the second round. But anyway, let's move on from this series. And the Knicks had a absolutely historic comeback. I still can't believe I'm saying that. When I was watching the game with my mom, she went upstairs to go to bed, actually, when the Knicks went down 22 with, I think, 7:49. She went to sleep because she thought the game was over. And I went back into the basement to watch the game, which is the coolest room in the house because now that it's 90 degrees in New York, the AC is finally turned on. But as I was watching this game, I was like, okay, the Knicks are down 22. I was thinking, okay, maybe they'll come back and make it, like a 15, 13-point game. And then, the Cavs kind of put their foot down. But every single basket that Jalen Brunson kept making, I'm like, okay, hold on, maybe there's a chance. And Kenny Atkinson, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that was probably the worst coaching I have ever seen. And I'll throw out a quick stat out there before I pass it on to you guys, but this is via Kevin O'Connor on Twitter. I saw this morning. Over the last 7:49 of regulation overtime, the Knicks went on a 44-11 run where they shot 15 of 20 from the field. Cavs shot 4 of 18, and Brunson had 17 points at 8 and 10. And only one timeout was called between, or no, two timeouts between 7:49 left of regulation to the end of the game. Only two timeouts were called. And Kenny Atkinson talked about it, after the game, how he likes to save timeouts, but you can't bring timeouts into game two. I hope he knows that. But anyway, the Knicks steal this game 115 to 104. Donovan Mitchell had 29 points and 52% shooting, and then scored 3 points in the final, I think, 10 minutes of the game. And Jalen Brunson came up absolutely clutch with 38 points. And Izzy, I'll pass it on to you first, and then the rest of you guys can hop in. But what were your takeaways from this game? And
So I definitely thought the game was going to be over way before the Knicks had their comeback in the fourth quarter. I was like, all right, it's game one, whatever. But I think just the energy of being an MSG and just like I've really never seen a stadium get that electric, in basketball. I feel like, Boston can be kind of comparable. Philly sometimes it kind of depends, but I feel like just that energy that was in there, like it really just propelled Jalen Brunson to be like, okay, like I can lock in, I can get this done. And evidently he did. I'm not a Knicks fan. I never claimed to be, but I'm not like surprised that he could do it, but I'm just so impressed. I feel like he genuinely is such a good clutch time player, and he's exactly what New York needs.
The Knicks are, this is typical Knicks, I think, right now. They get hot. They get cold early in the game, and then they realize, hey, it's winning time. And they go win. Like, they work together so well. I think the difference between these two teams is New York has the better role players, like Shemit and Cat versus Jared Allen and Sam Merrill. And when it comes down to that Knicks are going to take it. And with this, like what I was talking about earlier, with this momentum, it'll just carry them through. I don't really think the Cavs have a chance. The Cavs start really hot, and I think you've seen it a lot in games as they slow down and they lose games they shouldn't in the regular season and in their last series against the Pistons. So I mean, I'm going to take Knicks in four.
Wow, that's bold. I did not think, I thought the Knicks, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't think the Knicks were going to win this game going into the fourth quarter. And so that comeback was wild. I think Knicks in five. I think that after yesterday, you know that the Cavs are going to win one game, I think, even if it's in Cleveland. I think that they're a little bit pissed off about how their performance from last night. So I think that they might win one game, but also you see how burnt out they are after only having 1 or 2 days of rest. The Knicks had 9 days of rest and they had a lot of time to recover, and you saw that on full display last night. So yeah, I just think the Knicks are on a fairy tale run right now, and I think that's not going to stop for a while. And I think we go to the finals, we win the finals, first championship since 73.
I'd probably say Knicks at five. I don't think, I obviously Cleveland is better than Philly and
Big
Atlanta.
fans.
I don't think Cleveland allows themselves to get so. I think they win game three by like, double digits. I think they, respond very well, but I think the series is honestly over. You can't lose a game like that. Like that gave me flashbacks of game one last year where the Knicks were up 14 points with 2:56 left and they blew it. And even when they were up seven in overtime, I'm like, okay, the Knicks can blow this lead because I was thinking they probably will blow this lead. They'll find a way to. But I literally was not celebrating until the clock hit zero. Like, that's how much PTSD Tyrese Haliburton is getting. Like, every single time the Knicks have a lead, I'm like, okay, they'll find a way to blow it. It's either going to be in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. But like, I was thinking to myself before, we hopped on the episode, did the Knicks really win this game? But I was honestly thinking to myself, the Cavs lost this game more than the Knicks won this game. And you can obviously blame, the team as a whole, but two people come to my mind. First off, with James Harden, and I have the stat for you guys, I just found it on Twitter. So James Harden now has 32 playoff games with more turnovers than made field goals, which is fourth since 2003, where he only trails Draymond Green, Kendrick Perkins, and surprisingly enough, Manu Ginobili. I did not know Manu Ginobili had that many games where he's had more turnovers than made field goals. But the thing about James Harden is obviously the Cavs this was kind of their all-in move to trade Darius Garland for James Harden. And I think the reason why they did that at the trade deadline was to kind of give them that late regular season push to kind of move up in the standings. But the Cavs should have known that when you trade for James Harden, you're getting playoff dropper, choker, James Harden. And I have a whole bunch of James Harden stats right here. He played the entire fourth quarter and overtime. So he played the last 17 minutes of the game, didn't come out for a single possession. He stayed in the entire fourth quarter and overtime. And what I think should happen is, you guys may disagree, you could share your thoughts on this. I think James Harden should be on the Brunson minute thing where he plays the entire first quarter and then the second half of the second quarter. But then I would only play Harden the first 6 minutes of the third quarter, maybe a little bit more than 6 minutes in the third quarter, and then sit him the entire fourth. Don't play him a single minute in the fourth quarter, because what Brunson did to him yesterday, Brunson should be arrested and sent to prison. I don't know, first off, how you don't call a timeout, and I don't know how you don't take James Harden out. I'm sure you guys can probably figure out who to blame, but I really think James Harden is definitely to blame here. Obviously, you can also blame Kenny Atkinson, but I really think James Harden should be the one to blame. What do you guys think?
Like honestly, Brad, like, that's deep ball knowledge there with the minutes. I really think that, like, you see it with KD. Like, players just know how to guard them now. He's not the star he was, especially before 2018 or when he was young with Oklahoma City. So I think it's an ego thing right now for Harden. That's what I blame, and I think he is to blame. He's just got to stop taking stupid shots, and he did it all with the Pistons series. He's just taking threes when they don't need to take a three, and then you leave it to Spider Mitchell to close it out for them. If anything, he should be on less minutes,
100%.
just because he's just a rock right now.
I think James Harden is washed and unk.
That's a
Like,
very
just to
simple
put it
way, yet accurate way to put it.
honestly, like, I feel like it's a pretty simple, take to have, and it basically just kind of sums it all up. I was just so, I've never really been too fond of him. I don't want to be hateful, of course, but you really cannot play that way when you need to. Like, shooting 1 for 8, 12.5% from three, and 5 for 16 from the field, 31.3%. Like, that just can't happen. Like, that really just that can't happen. I really was, I'm not like disappointed per se, because I wasn't really rooting for them, but just kind of like egregiously bad on his part. I really really thought that he was not playing very well. I also, this might be a hot take. I really don't think he deserved his MVP.
I've said the same thing. That's not a hot take. I totally agree with that. Should have
Okay.
went to Giannis
I mean, hey,
or
I'm gonna call
Russ,
Adam
either
Silver.
one.
Or Russ. Yeah, I actually think it should have been Russ, low
I think
key.
if you average a triple double, you should automatically, almost have the MVP on lock. Like I think Jokic should have more. I think Russ should have more, but maybe that should be being hateful to Harden.
Yeah, he did not play well last night. That was a terrible performance by James Harden. I mean, the fourth quarter, I didn't even like, I felt like they were talking about Donovan Mitchell not in overtime, not really doing much. I didn't think I saw James Harden much in the fourth quarter. They didn't mention him a lot, which is not a good sign when you don't aren't mentioned in an NBA game. So that's how bad you were doing. But I just wanted to we don't have a lot of time left, but I wanted to mention that the last time I went to a Knicks game was January in person was January 2018. That lineup, that starting five for that game was Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Enes Kanter, Jarrett Jack, and Courtney Lee. So I just want to say we've come a long way since the days of 2018 when Kristaps Porzingis was our leading scorer, and now we're three games away from the NBA Finals. So.
That's elite ball knowledge right there. The fact that you even memorized that
Oh no, I
starting
didn't
lineup.
memorize it. I found the
Oh.
stat line from the game last night.
Oh, I was about to say, if you memorize that, then I'll give you a lot of credit. I don't even remember the Knicks starting lineup when I went in 2023, but then again, that was also 3 years ago. But anyway, I think going into game two, I think Kenny Atkinson definitely needs to limit James Harden's minutes. I think that's probably the biggest thing. But what do you guys think is going to happen in game two? Obviously, the fact that the Cavs lost like this, it kind of is very gut-wrenching. You can't be up 22 with under 8 minutes left and then blow it in grand fashion. But what do you guys predict going into game two?
I think the Knicks are going to take it 100%. I feel like the Cavs are kind of vengeful, kind of coming off of such a demoralizing loss, I feel like is the best way to put it. But I feel like the Knicks are just on this hot streak. And even when they go to Cleveland to play the third game, I think it's going to be, they're still going to be on that high. And it's going to be really hard to break or, put a dent in their momentum.
Totally agree. Cleveland's known for coming back, but let's go Knicks.
I have to agree with both of you. Knicks in five. Knicks are going to win tomorrow night. I think, to be honest with you, I don't think tomorrow's game is going to be close. I think tomorrow's going to be a blowout.
I wouldn't say blow, but I do think the Knicks have a lot to adjust for. Like, they played god awful those first three quarters. Like, I did not realize how good, well, this is going to sound very weird, but I didn't realize how good Jared Allen and Evan Mobley were on Karl-Anthony Towns. At first, I thought that, okay, like, Cat cooked Embiid, but then again, Embiid's slow and overrated and was injured pretty much the entire series. But I did not realize how good of a job that Evan Mobley and Jared I'm going to do, because obviously the Knicks have run Cat at the point center. He's kind of the hub. And the fact that they were able to stop it, I didn't realize how effective that double big was going to be. So I do want to give some credit where it's due, even though Evan Mobley and Jared Allen really didn't play well either. And once again, Mitchell Robinson kind of bullied them on the offensive glass a little bit, not as much as they did in 2023, but they still got bullied. But I personally, I think the Knicks win game two. I think they win by, I'd say, 9 points. I don't think they go down 22 again. I really hope they don't go down 22 again, because I can't take another one of these games where they kind of dig themselves into a ginormous hole and then kind of have to dig themselves out. But with that being said, that will wrap up this episode. We only have 5 minutes left, so we'll wrap it up here. I want to thank you guys for coming on Zoom. I know we all are very busy and with work and whatnot, so I appreciate you three coming on. Of course, we have Izzy Randazzo, Henry Wolf, Brogan Deserto. I am Bradley Byrne, your A host. Bobby Chaffardini is our sports director. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.